Okay, it's a great pleasure to introduce Maggie Nyangwa. Maggie, I met 3 years ago when I started here in Post. She's originally from Malawi, where she and Vicky Larvey, who's the head of international ministries with CMF, met up. Maggie has brought her family. Bern, hi, at the back. Two little ones. And she's the host and organizer of our Bromley and Orpington local group. And she's a registrar in infectious diseases, pediatrics at St. Mary's Paddington. So I've no idea what she's going to say. I'm looking forward to hearing it.
Thank you. I just wanted to say, when Julian asked me to speak, I thought for a long time and said, should I really do this? And one of the main reasons was because I know that obviously coming from a different cultural background, the way I do things and some of my experiences will vary from most people's experiences and maybe their approach towards things. So I would like to say from the beginning that maybe my background will have a lot of influence on what I'm going to say and share today. So as Gian said, I'm originally from Malawi, and I just thought, okay, how can I talk about fruitfulness in the way the topic was said, fruitfulness in the front line of healthcare? It sounded really heavy and really like quite intense, and I was thinking people expect you to sort of come and give you a lot of meaningful ideas so that you can go back and say, those are good strategies. But I'm more of a folk tell type of person. I tell stories. And so later on, Julian said, oh, don't worry. You just have to tell your testimony and just tell people your experiences. I think that's very important. And I thought, great, that is so easy, because then now I can just change everything to a very simple statement. And the statement is, the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. And I'm just going to read Matthew 9, verse 35 to 37. The workers are few. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing of every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, and I could possibly say this is where most of us fit in. Then he said to all the doctors, the students, the GPs, the nurses, and the occupational therapists, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for the opportunity you've given us to be healthcare workers in different fields. We also thank you for the opportunity to come here and share your testimony. And I just want to say, may you be glorified, and may it be known that everything that I'm about to talk about is because of your strength, because of your grace, and because of your mercy. For you give us the ability to share your word, and Holy Spirit, you direct us and create all the opportunities that come our way. And so, Father, be glorified as we share our experiences this afternoon. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. So I was born in Malawi, and like most average middle-class Malawians, had a relatively good life until round about the age of 18, when I had just interviewed to go to med school. And what I didn't know was that between the age of 18 and 19, my life was going to change drastically. And that year probably has affected and had a very big impact in my life, because my father encouraged me to study medicine. And in 1996, after a short illness, he died, and he never saw me going to med school. And when I was a first-year medical student, my mother died as well. So obviously, this was a bit of a shock and too much to go through. But when I went to med school, I was really, really loved and embraced by my colleagues, the lecturers, and the people in my local church, to the point that I more or less believe that I'm a child of the church, because the church became my family. So I know the beginning is a little bit emotional, but this is why I want you to understand where I'm coming from, because it will have a bearing of what I'm going to talk about. So I went through medical school with a lot of support from the some of the missionaries that had come in, and Julian talked about Vicky and a few other people who started CMF in Malawi. So I was among the very first people that were recruited in that group of students in that year, and that was in 1997. So having gone through med school, you know, going through life as you'd expect, it was very important, obviously, that we studied, and it was also very important that, you know, we grew in our spiritual lives. And in 2001, I graduated, and after graduating, I think the real life situation hit hard, where I had to think, okay, now that I'm a doctor, we've all talked about, you know, being witnesses for Christ, and we all had the energy, but working in hospitals where there were no resources and you weren't paid much just made it really difficult to sort of keep going. To say, yes, I believe in God and you provide our needs and all that, but at the same time, you have no gloves and you don't have medications, you don't have a lot of resources. So the first 3 years of my life was quite a challenge, but because of what I'd seen God do from the time I lost my parents to the time I had gone through med school and had the opportunity to come out as a doctor, I knew that nothing was impossible with God. Through difficult situations, through limited resources, God is able to provide. And so I made up my mind that I was going to stand with all the people that were going to believe God and live for God in whatever way they could possibly do until they get to see God in glory. So in 2002, we had the opportunity to go to Taiwan, and I had never been outside the continent at that time. This was because CMF, UK, and a few other donors had given us the opportunity to go to Taiwan to attend the International Christian Medical and Dental Association Congress. So when we went there, we met two Zimbabweans. And these guys were full of vigor, full of strength and enthusiasm at the time when everybody was cursing Zimbabwe because everything had happened and no one believed anything good could come out of Zimbabwe. But they stood up and said, you know what? There are good things coming out of Zimbabwe. We want to tell you that we are praying for our patients. We've decided that in the midst of all the political tensions and all the scarcity of resources and all that, we are going to stand together as students and doctors and we'll be praying for our patients. And we said, our neighbors are doing it, so can we. They're as poor as we are and they have difficult situations, so we are going to be part of this revival and awakening where we're not going to be ashamed. We'll be taking medical histories together with spiritual histories as much as we can. We're going to keep them short and make sure that people don't complain and they don't say to us, oh, you're taking far too long, you're doing this and that. We'll do it to a way that will make them know that we are efficient, we are good enough, but at the same time, we will share the gospel and we will tell people about Christ as much as we can. They may die because they don't have ceftriaxone and they don't have an MRI to diagnose that tumor and all that, but before they die, at least they should have heard of Jesus. And so we became part of this healing network. And luckily, when I was going through that, Vicky then brought resources about the saline solution, which has been mentioned. So I was privileged enough because at that time I used to work for CMF as well, 1 week and 3 weeks in the hospital. I read the saline solution and I was able to learn the principles that are being used in the West, combine them with the principles that we were using back home, which were all just spirit-filled, Holy Spirit guide us, nobody goes without hearing the word. And therefore, with that background, probably part of it is also linked to my personality, because I think I said, God, you've shown me mercy, you've made me live to this age, and you've given me privileges that most African girls who are orphaned at 18 don't get. And so I decided, from what I'd heard, with the opportunities I had, that I meet so many people in my workplace, I'll do as much as I can. And I found that it wasn't easy, more so here than in Malawi, because later on, in 2006, after working there for a little bit, I arrived in 2006, February. So as I speak, I've been in this country for 8 years, 10 months. And I'll just pause here. I did this to sort of break, because the first part was for you to understand who I am and why I do what I do. And the second part was to sort of say, having been here 8 years, 10 months, any of you are familiar with these ARCPs, Annual Review of Competencies of Progression? How many have filled them in, or how many have done that with a student or a colleague? So yeah, some of you are familiar with them. I've just had my face-to-face annual review because I've just finished my ST8 in last month on October. So obviously I had to fill in a lot of reports and say, so what have I done in the 8 years that I've been in this country? What have I achieved? And what has happened? So I said, okay, as I was doing that, then maybe Julian Stoll could follow the same thing. As we do our ARCPs, I could probably sort of prepare for the talk in the same way. Why am I here? Has faith been part of my daily practice? And how have I done the job? Have I been good at doing what I'm supposed to do? So when you, all the medical students who know, and all of you who are consultants would know that we bother you to help us with case-based discussions. For those who don't know, CBD is case-based discussion. And mini CACs are the mini clinical examination evaluations that we fill in, and the DOPS are direct observed procedures. And I said, maybe one thing I've not shared with people, but I thought I'll share with you now, is that we could try and say, whatever we learned in those days when we were teaching each other how to pray for patients, how to put in, how to incorporate the God's word into the histories and all that, could be summarized as case-based discussions, which are also Christ-based discussions, putting in a bit of Christ and God in our history taking. And mini cases could also be making sure that there are mini Christ-filled examinations where you're praying for the patient as well as also introducing a few questions about support and all that. That would be Christ-linked. And lastly, when you're doing your direct observed procedures, you could also throw in the involvement of the Holy Spirit. As you're preparing for LP, you're just praying for opportunities to arise to see, how can I bring in something that can help this patient know something about God? I'm not saying all your patients should get the whole gospel that day and become born again, no. However, you know what I mean. Just meet them where they are and just see how things can go. So I just wanted to say, yes, I've spoken about patients, but it's not just about patients. It's about all the other colleagues that are in the workplace, and I think the harvest is indeed plenty. All right, so as I said, I arrived in 2006, and my first point, so I've sort of put this as the way you grade your annual review competencies. So I've had my 8 year review, so obviously I'm gonna give you a snapshot of my 8 years in this country. I arrived in Liverpool, and already I had links with some of the Christian doctors that are in Arrow Park, the hospital where I first arrived. And I was very blessed because Liverpool has a lot of CMF members. And so there were monthly CMF meetings. So the week I arrived, I think after a week or so, there was this monthly CMF meeting. I was like, uh-huh, I know this. That's what happens everywhere. And then at work, one of the consultants said, okay, I've heard word from Jim that you're joining us, you're a Christian. I said, yes, I am. Are there any other Christians? So he said, yes, I know other consultants. In fact, we meet every month, but that's just for consultants. I'm not sure who the registrars and the SHOs are, but you will find out. I said, okay. So I was quite eager to talk about Christ, find out who the other Christians are. And luckily, yes, there were three other registrars who were Christians. There was no SHO who was a Christian, but there was a very friendly Muslim SHO who we shared a lot of stories with. And I found that the most convenient time to talk about Christ and just find out about people's situations was when I was doing baby checks. So my very first job was a neonatal SHO in this hospital. And as a SHO, you went and did baby checks on all the babies that had been born the previous night. And there could be anything from 10 to 20. And I thought that's the time when you undress the baby. And so you're sort of asking the mother, is everything okay? And is the feeding going on well? Has the child pooed? Has the child done everything? And how are you feeling? Do you have any support? And who's there at home? Family? Any support group? Church or anything. So I'll just do something like that, church, and so some people would say, oh, yeah, I go to church, or people invite me to meetings, or I don't go regularly. They say, oh, no, I don't do that. And then I'll just move on. But that would be one of the entry points. And one of the other times I had the opportunity to sort of discuss a little bit more with one of the women who had had a baby and had another young baby at home, and the husband had been away, and I wasn't sure because she just looked too sad. I just said, if you don't mind me asking. Now, this is where I'm saying, this is where you know now that I'm not British. I look at you, you're too sad. I'm like, what's wrong? So I just said, if you don't mind me asking, I know you've had the baby and all that, but is there anything else bothering you that I can help with? And she broke into tears, and I said, what's happening? And it turned out she was lonely, and the husband was in the Navy, and it was just too much for her to cope with, but she needed he needed to work. So we're able to sort of talk and pray, and then later on she told me she'd seek more support. So I did a lot of that, and I'd just come in and with zeal and enthusiasm. And part of it, I was lonely. I had no family, I had no friends and all that. So it was either work, reading for my exams, and, you know, making sure the kingdom business is going on. So after a while, I remember sharing with somebody else what was going on, and she said, oh, I'm very encouraged and all that. And of course, she was a Christian as well. And then somebody said to me, oh, no, Maggie, I'm a Christian, but you shouldn't be doing that. You're not the hospital chaplain. And this is where I take a big pause, because that threw me right down. I said, what's going on? So everything that you can imagine went on my head. I was now afraid. I was just thinking, oh, my God, I'm going to get in trouble here. I don't want to go back and people to think, oh, she just went out of the way, you know. So in a way, I was really demoralized, and I was really like, no one has complained, and no one had said anything, and she's a Christian. Why is she telling me that? Well, she should be encouraging me, or we should be finding better ways, not telling me I'm not the hospital chaplain. But then I realized, okay, fine. After 2-3 months of being demoralized, I realized, what would Jesus do? Would he sort of give up and sort of say, okay, the hospital chaplains would talk to all the mothers and all the patients in the hospital? I don't know how many people talk to the hospital chaplains in the hospitals, but I just realized, okay, enough, good point, very good opinion, but no thanks. I'm not going to follow that, because as far as I know, if Jesus was here, he would talk to all those mothers, he would talk to all those patients, and he would try and do as much as he can. And so I'll do my part, and yes, it was busy, yes, some patients might be a bit, you know, surprised that I was even interested in issues like this. But within the limits of the legalities and all being appropriate and all that, I used to ask them if they needed support. If there was anything, I would ask them, I would help them with who was being there for them. And most of them opened up, and opportunities were there. So I'm just glad that that happened, that in the very first year of life, I had my cultural shock, my demoralization, and a way of just focusing and putting things into perspective. And so the main solutions were that I prayed. Because of time, I'm not going to go too much into scripture, but whatever we ask in prayer, God is faithful to honor and answer our prayers. And the Holy Spirit is there to guide us. It's so busy in our professions, and I'm not talking about long prayers, but, you know, just going through a word and say, Holy Spirit, come guide me and just help me be of use wherever you want me to be. And, you know, doors and opportunities were opening. And so every time I told myself, I will remember and remember that I'm not the hospital chaplain, but I'm Christ's messenger to reach every person from every race and every background. Amen. And at the same time, I also said, fine, for some people, yes, it's okay about where they want to draw the lines. But if there are other Christians who need support, yes, I'm going to support them. And if they can support me, yes, I want their support. And if we can also reach out to other health professionals, I'll do as much as I can. And then when I came to King's, it was a totally different scenario. I was placed in a busy A&E job. That's my ST2, ST3. And I was seated there in the A&E every day of my 6 months. So it was very quick, and there was not much luxury as them. Mothers I was talking to when I was doing baby checks. However, I had so many other testimonies as well. Within a short time, when you just say to someone, are you okay? Who's with you? Who's supporting you? I met so many people who explained so many things. I met an Eastern European woman who had just gone through difficult times coming from an area of war and conflict, who just broke down and just said, you know what? I could do with prayer right now. And we prayed together in A&E in King's, and that was great because that was what that woman needed at that time. And I met three 13-year-old girls who came and they were asking for sexual health advice, and it was just an opportunity to just speak to them and think about life. So these didn't need talking to them about Christ, they needed more about a general perspective of life. And lastly, one of the key things that happened that year was that a 16-year-old girl came in looking for a morning after pill, and I said, I can't do this because of my faith and all that. And people were very respectful. And what was really interesting was that one of the registrars who was there on call with me, because I was always based in A&E, so the other one was based on the ward, said, I can't do it either because I'm Muslim and I can't do this. And we just started talking about faith and all that, and it grew up into a discussion where a lot more people joined. And later on, the emergency next practitioner said, I respect you guys for standing up for your faith. It's great. Most people don't, but I'll do it. I do this. It's part of my job, and I feel very open to do this. And it was just great to be in that place where at least people felt they could stand their ground and talk about their faith. And then later on, I moved on to Brighton. And now I spoke to John Carew here because he's one of the people I had an email from. I don't know where he's gone, to say, okay, your area rep is John Carew, and at your hospital, there's anesthetist so-and-so, you can meet up. We never met up. So in that whole year, I had not met people within the same. So it does happen that I did not have fellowship with other believers, but opportunities were still there. When I was working on the neonatal unit, I looked after 24-weekers who did extremely well, but just when they're about to go home a week before, one of them started coughing up blood, and we could not understand why, because they were from 24 weeks to get to 34 weeks and to just start being unwell with no obvious cause. That was just a tragedy. And then later on, this child went on back to getting ventilated and suddenly died. Postmortem showed the child had CMV. Now, obviously, these were twins. The other twin was fine, and we no one could figure out where the CMV came from. The mother didn't have CMV. And the only possible possibility in the equation was maybe from breast milk, you know, and because you do use donut breast milk. And that's the only possible thing. But this family were Christians, and because I did so many nights looking after them, they shared with me that they were Christians. I said, I'm a Christian too. So they said, pray with us as we pray, because this is hard for us. And later on, when they came to the unit, they met me. They said, oh, we're so happy you're here, because they came for debriefing and all that. And they were smiling and talking. And I remember talking freely, and the consultant said, I can't understand how, after everything they've gone through, they're still smiling and talking like that. And she asked me and said, why is that? Why is it even possible? So I said, look, they are Christians, and they know there's nothing they could have done. And there's nothing we could have done. There's nothing that could have changed that situation. It's happened. And they need to just hold on, but they're Christians, so they're holding their support and believing in God. And the consultant wasn't a Christian herself, but she said, anyway, I guess there's a place for God after all. So there you go. And then after that, I went to Evelina. I was just sharing with Veronica here. Evelina was one of the best places where I ever worked, because for the first time in my life, I realized that Muslim doctors can give their bleep to someone to go and pray for 30 minutes and come back. Has anyone ever seen that in their hospital before? No. So yes, this happens. Even when I worked in one other hospital, it's possible. So I was intrigued that people of other faiths stand up and things are allowed, and there's so much negativity about Christian doctors, so much, you can't speak, you can't this, you can't that. But then for 30 minutes, they can do that. So somebody was saying, yes, I agree, because obviously as a Christian, you can pray anywhere at any time. But to be fair, anyone can pray anywhere, anytime, regardless of their faith, religion, and background. But it just shows how, depending on how societies can sort of favor or value other, how forceful and how people put their stand, then obviously policies are made. So I don't want to open a can of worms, but I already apologized from the beginning that I may not be as British and as sensitive, but I just want, you know, like some of the points to come across in how I've led my life, because that's the views that are taken. But because of that, it gave opportunities for dialogue and asking why we do things, why other people are having opportunities, you know, that other faiths are not having. And so it was a very good opportunity to witness to fellow believers. Coming to ST4, ST5, it was mostly a place where a lot of colleagues that I've made now as friends, I probably met them in that year. I did not realize that when I came to, because that's when I moved from Brighton to Bromley, I didn't know anyone, and one of the registrars there was a Christian. And after a few months, I met one of the other relatives related to the case I was talking about, the patient who had died of CMV pneumonitis when I was in Brighton. And we just clicked and became friends, and we used to pray together, and we said, why don't we start a fellowship? So now, as Julian was saying, I lead this Bromley Oppington group. This group was born out of friendships within work. So praying together from work and just networking. And now the group has 15 people. 10 are regular and 5 come whenever they can. So the harvest has not just been in terms of meeting patients where they are and what they're going through, but also through work. It hasn't just been for me just being a messenger and giving. There's been a lot of receiving on my part as well, and having friendships and getting a lot of academic support, because some of these doctors are extremely intelligent people who've taught me a lot as I've gone through along the years. And I can go so on, but I want to mention two things, that I was extremely encouraged by one of the British doctors, a pharmacist, who, as we could talk about, we all give excuses of culture and all that, but this lady came to me in the neonatal unit and said, I've heard you're a Christian, and I want to be praying with someone because I just feel like there's a darkness here. I didn't expect this from her. I said, really, what do you mean? And she said, these are the issues that are bothering me. Do you mind joining me for prayer? So for 3 times, she took the initiative, not me, to meet together and pray with her. So I've just been grateful for people who also were able to come out of their cultural norms and comfort to just say, let's pray. I tried to, after every lunch break, after my ward rounds, because consultants do ward rounds twice a week, and we, the registrars, were doing rounds like 3 days a week. So after my ward rounds, I'd say, quick, let's all go and have a meal together. And everybody would be like, yes. So what are we doing? What are we going to do? And I'll try and bring a few things to sort of just get to know people. And I tried for a whole year to get them to an AFA course. Nothing worked. And this is where I want to give an example of saying, yes, it doesn't always work. But the following year, when I was ST6, same strategy. I said, we'll not give up, because I can't always talk to people, you know, colleagues, about Christ and just try to convince them over and over again. Sometimes I need to tell them about resources that are already there. So finally, we managed to get one person convinced. He went on AFA twice, and this person has come to our CMF meetings twice and came to the regional CMF, no, national CMF meeting in Swanwick once. He's not yet a Christian. He's telling me he's still searching. But for me, these are steps that are being sown. When he becomes a Christian, I don't know. But maybe my role is just to follow him up and just introduce him to these things. And another girl dedicated her life through these chats. So there are a lot of conversations and lots of opportunities. But I want to finish with this slide, which probably is the most important of all. After that, the last 2 years of my training have been looking after chronically ill patients. So I spent 6 months at Great Ormond Street Hospital, where I looked after patients who've had bone marrow transplant. And by the nature of their diseases, they come in, they get prepared for bone marrow transplant, they have the transplant, and they stay in. So it means you look after patients for many, many months. And so I had 7 patients who I looked after Monday to Friday. And out of those 7 patients, believe it or not, 4 out of the 7 were Christians. One was from an African background, but the other 3 were white British. The reason I say this is because I want you to have a perspective where they're not just of similar background of like myself, but they're diverse. And they're different backgrounds economically, socially, and racially. And I didn't even know to begin with, but through asking them, they told me about this. And they were praying for each other. They were praying for their own for their own children. And 3 out of them came out with transplants that had worked really well, and they were discharged. One didn't do very well. But even though it didn't do very well, it was very encouraging to always see how they were still praying and being encouraged. And I was so challenged, so touched, and I remember it gave me lots of questions for God. And at the same time, it also helped me just see how God was working both ways. And also not just both ways, but in so many ways, because these mothers told me about other nurses who were Christians. I would go in there and say, do you know so-and-so is a Christian? They prayed with me, they encouraged me and all that. But we've all done this within the realms where I've not heard any mother complain that I talked to them about God or I prayed with them. And I've heard not any nurse who I prayed with or any other colleague complain, because they found a way of sharing their problems or opening up so that I could meet their need or they met my need. But it was all within the proper medical, legal frameworks where I know that God opened the opportunities and needs were met. And so I want to finish by saying, I know that maybe most of you may not have the same opportunity I've had. I'll leave that side for you to look at. But you can use so many opportunities. Most for me, sharing the gospel was quite a challenge because I come from a different background. So I'd learn a lot about sport and movies and some of the things that the British society likes. So when I talk to F1s and F2s, I talk a lot about F1s and F2s because when you're on nights, those are the people you're working with and they need a lot of support and all that. You have to talk about movies. I shouldn't talk about X-Men and Transformers, but I've watched that so I can talk to them about them. And I watch Formula One and I watch, name it, so many sports. So I can talk about Chelsea and Arsenal, and I know what they are. Honestly, and I'm seriously not joking about this. I know where they are on the league table. I know who they are playing against. And I know, you know, what's happening with Formula One, because those are my entry points. If I don't do this, I have no connection with most people. And I have to talk about food, what they've done, and what they've been doing, and just show an interest. So I know that in this culture, people don't like asking and intruding and finding out, but I think it's going to be very hard to introduce Christ if you don't ask and find out and involve yourself in their lives. So thank you very much. In conclusion, the harvest is plenty. It's not always going to be easy for opportunities to present themselves. We have to go and actively look for opportunities. As challenges are there, persevere, don't give up. Let's support each other. Hold my hand, I'll hold your hand, but let's keep on sharing the good news about Christ to our patients, to one another, and to everybody that's going to come our way. Thank you.